And so one thing that has kind of been ignored here, I come from Moab. We don't have any of these other chapters in Moab. We do have a lot of good members that are strictly addicted to some drug other than alcohol. And I can't tell a bit of difference in their performance with the Alcoholics Anonymous program. And I think if, you know, this program had been instigated in recent years, I think the wording would be different, because I don't believe at the time that this program originated that the people had any idea that there's going to be as large a segment of our population affected by other drugs other than alcohol. I know in small areas like ours there is no place to send somebody else. I think that our group accepts anyone with a addiction to a mind-altering substance. I think we're resistant to change, and that's why I think a lot of alcoholics, a lot of old farts like myself, for example, don't like to categorize themselves as a drug addict. And as a matter of fact, I see many doctors, for example, that like to drink booze, and maybe they don't categorize themselves as a drug addict. But I know myself, I'm an addict, and if I mess with any mind-altering substance, I'm going to become addicted, or in the process, I'm going to go back to my original addiction, whichever it might be. The thing that I think is, I mean, I don't think we need to try to be everything to everybody, because I think, though, the one common thing we all share is the addiction to a mind-altering substance. And when I came into this program, I came in with sponsors that were hard-line old AAs, and I heard a lot of them talk about being sent away from the program because they hadn't qualified. And of course, that has been long proven now, since that time, that it is not a criteria to change our direction in life. And I like a lot of the terminology. I'm one of a dying breed, a pure alcoholic. I've never had any substance in this body other than alcohol, any mind-altering substance. But if I tell you that I've been sober and clean since December the 15th, 1959, that means that no mind-altering substance has been in this body, including prescription or otherwise. I've had the opportunity more times than I care to recall of setting AA meetings, people participating and saying, I've been sober so long and haven't had a drink of alcohol, and they couldn't have told me the address of the meeting they was attending or the time of day because they were on the influence of some mind-altering drug other than alcohol, but they were still, as far as our definitions in some people's terminology go, they were sober. A lot of, you know, I don't buy that. I like to think about this word clean as well as sober. And I think not only am I a dying breed, I think Alcoholics Anonymous eventually will suffer the same decline if they don't open their minds to the fact that alcohol, along with any other mind-altering substance, is a drug. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're running out of time here, and characteristically, this young lady here has been waiting patiently all afternoon to to have her say, so I would like to go ahead now.
Thank you. I wasn't going to try it again. It just amazes me. 13 years ago, where I originally got sober at, the controversy, there can be 10,000 million controversies, and at that time it was amazing that the controversy that came down was the difference between addiction and disease. You know, when I sobered up 13 years ago, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I was 17 years old. I was the youngest member in the Bay Area. When I came in, people literally loved me back to life, literally. I tested them. I talked the language of the streets. I no more knew what the word sobriety or selfish or self-centered. I was just always angry and pissed off, and that was how I communicated with people. There was people around me that said, hey, you're too young to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and they use that line of I spilt more than you drank and all this. And I was hostile enough that I threw back my own. But then there was those people that said, I'm going to look past what you say and how you say it to who you really are. And they didn't sit and just label me. They said I was a child of God. After I'd been in the program for about a year, the big battle with alcoholism versus drug addiction and so forth started. The Alano Club in our area, and there was only one at the time, split. And it was the younger people, more or less, that started to come in from the recovery houses versus the alcoholics, the peer, the real, I'm a real alcoholic, and so forth and so on. And they had a split. The trouble was is that all those people that split to that other Al-Anon group, a lot of them had helped me get sober. And they weren't going to let you be a member of that Al-Anon, that Alano Club if you had a dual problem. And my name was brought up, and they held a board meeting, and they wanted to bring me in and question me because they had a problem. What are we going to do with Tony? She's been around. I hadn't even gone to any NA meetings. You know, I'll get up in a meeting, and I'll just start talking sometimes. It didn't happen today. I'm amazed. But in a lot of meetings, if I don't announce myself and who I am, it's, who are you? And I don't think they really are asking, who am I? It's just, which am I? You know, when Alcoholics Anonymous first started, they didn't even announce. They figured if you were there, you wanted it. If you didn't want it, you could leave. You know, so there's been a lot of things that we've brought about. It says that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of all of our problems. And I don't know a damn thing about alcoholism. And I have my own profession, too. I'm not a doctor. But I sure in hell am finding out a lot about the ick. And that's me, the alcoholic. And I come to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings to learn how to apply these principles, which it says, in all my affairs. I got to find out who I am. And we have steps just for that. You know, I come in and I talk about my selfishness. I talk about my self-centeredness. I talk about all those things that make up Tony. You know, it just amazes me. And I've heard two things, and I agree with both of them. And that's how it usually works for me in this program, is I always hear some of the other sides. One time I heard that we've got to be really scared, and I was terrified that something would happen to the only thing I had in my life, which was this program. And I thought it was going to fold. 13 years later, I have discovered it hasn't folded. But the one thing that I do agree in also, and that's the traditions. And I'm a hell of a traditionalist. And my sponsor is what I call the big book thumper. And she'd always say, what has the big book got to say? She's telling me that 99% of the stuff said in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting was just opinions. And that listen to that 1% that was in the book. And then it couldn't fail. If I chose to use other people's opinions, fine. But that book was my source. And in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it states in the beginning, I'll just briefly read this. It doesn't say alcohol or alcoholic about the disease in the beginning. It's the foreword to the first edition. It says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered, and that's another issue, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. And then it goes on and on and on in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I see so many issues that are being lumped up into one issue. You know, and there's a difference. When I come to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous or any other meeting I choose to go to, whether it's on my job or anything else, I hold the right to say what I want to say and how I want to say it. Okay? And there are no rules and regulations. And there's a difference between when I go to a meeting and I want to sit and talk about what I am, you know, and about me, then I feel I have to do that. I don't feel I have to sit there and maybe discuss alcoholism, which I know nothing about. And I have been kicked out of meetings. I am a dual addicted person, you know. And I had been kicked out of meetings. But I haven't been kicked out of them in a long time. And you know, I was really in trouble when I first sobered up after a little while because I was an addict in an AA meeting and I got my own opinions. And a lot of addicts didn't like me. You know, I did not appreciate going to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting or any other meeting. Well, I don't care if it was NA or whatever. Go to that meeting, and all I hear about is how I got it and why I got it. And I even use that same line today. If a speaker stands up and spends 50 minutes on what it used to be like and only 10 minutes on how they got that way and what it's like today, I have my own opinion about that too. You know, what somebody brought up about sobriety. I know how to drink, and I know how to use drugs, and I know how to be insane, and I know all that stuff. What I don't know is how to live without it. And that's what I come to meetings for. And that's what I come to meetings to listen for and to try and share with. Mm-hmm. And I get flack from a lot of people because I'm one of those duals. And I believe in the traditions. But I believe that when we talk about the issues, sometimes separating the issues so that they're not lumped up into one is really important. And I'm grateful to be here, and I have to thank Alcoholics Anonymous and God and the people in it for what I am and who I am today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have to wind down here, but there are two other people who wanted to say something. Shane, you could go first, and then George S., okay?
It's Sean. Still.
Sean, sorry. Right. I've been listening to CJ too long.
I'm Sean, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Sean.
I've been qualifying myself in that way for about 4 years now. Prior to that, I was qualifying myself as anything from an alcoholic addict to an addict alcoholic to somebody who was dually dependent. Finally, my first sponsor said to me, "What the fuck are you? Do you know? Do you got the disease or not?" I've only heard the word disease mentioned twice this afternoon. I know I haven't been here for this entire meeting, but I have only heard the disease mentioned twice, the idea of the disease. I believe that I have the disease. Now, I also haven't heard very many questions asked. My question is, are you asking me to edit? Are you asking me to edit my experience?
No, we're not asking you to edit. There's two speaker meetings going on, and this is a discussion panel, and we weren't...
Okay. You've been asking for questions.
I don't think
we
have to worry about the NAs taking this over. We're AAs, and we can't even run it.
Mm-hmm. My first sponsor, as I said, he said, "What am I?" He asked me what I am. He said, "Have you ever read the chapter more about alcoholism?" I said, "Yeah," and then I went home and read it. I went home and read it, and I came back, and he says, "Well, what are you? Do you have the disease?" And I said, "Yes, I have the disease. I have a disease that is progressive that happens to be called alcoholism. And I've been getting along very, very well, thank God, in Alcoholics Anonymous. I am very grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's what I am sharing with you. That's how it's been resolved for me. I am talking about the disease when I share. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. George?
I got to get this goddamn thing up where I can reach it. I'm George Stewart, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, George.
I've been around a few days, and this subject seems to have been a controversy ever since I came to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had the opportunity of being the 12th delegate in the state of Utah, and the second year I was back in New York, the main item was the exact subject that we're talking about today. It was the consensus of the conference that we should not ever turn anyone away from an open AA meeting. But it was also the consensus of the conference, if you had a dual addiction, that you try to talk about alcoholism in as much as you was to an alcoholic meeting. If you wanted to talk about drug addiction, go to a drug addicted meeting. It was also the consensus of the conference that you should not elect a straight drug addict to go back to represent and vote on things that affected Alcoholics Anonymous. So, as near as I can say, that anyone is welcome to an open AA meeting, and damn well should come. But we should hold our remarks as much as humanly possible to alcoholism. Thank you.
Thank you very much, George.
I just wanted to add a one-liner, and God, if Sean quit coming to meetings, I would miss him, and I don't even know him all that well. And I'm not trying to be funny, but it seems to me that we're talking about shoulds and should nots, and I don't think that's the point. If you overdose on French Quaaludes in a wolf pack of Scotch drinkers, you might die. And God damn it, I think you owe it to yourself. I had that happen. I had somebody overdose on Librium, some goddamn Ribium, and I'm a Scotch drinker, and I goddamn near lost them. So I think that we owe it to ourselves to be with our people. I don't think we have to disband, for Christ's sake, but...
Thank you, Jack. Bud, did you want to say something?
My name is Bud Blumenthal, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bud.
Hi, Bud.
You know, we have a little triangle, and it says recovery, and unity, and service. Recovery from what? Recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Recovery from the disease of mind-altering drugs, if they have been classified as a disease. I don't know that. Alcoholism is classified by the American Medical Association as a disease. Our book covers a disease of the mind and the body that is all-consuming. And I presume the drugs does exactly the same thing. Of course, alcohol is a drug, so is sugar. Damn near everything that we have has a chemical composition which makes it sugar, which makes it a drug. You know, I think that everybody should just remember why we're here. I'm here to recover from a disease called alcoholism, and I associate with alcoholic people to do that. I'm quite sure that a good member, and good numbers of members of groups that I attend come in and say, I'm duly addicted. A young lady introduced herself one night as a dual. A dual what? I asked her after the meeting. I asked her what she was addicted to. I'm addicted to alcohol and drugs. What drugs? Where did you really start? Did you start with mainlining, or did you start snorting cocaine, or where did you start? One young lady said that she took to drugs because her dad was an alcoholic and she didn't want any part of that. And that's the first person that I've ever heard say that they started on drugs. Everyone else said that they started by stealing a beer from a refrigerator, something that didn't belong to them. A beer from a fridge, or a drink from somebody's bottle. And it got them going. And it got them started into something that turned into an addiction. And one thing leading to another through peer pressure. I think that peer pressure is what we have here in the unity of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Recovery and unity. And now we get to the other one, service. George said that they strongly recommended that you do not elect someone who is addicted to other types of drugs other than alcohol to represent Alcoholics Anonymous to the General Service Organization conferences as delegates. Is that correct? There must be a reason for that. There's a reason why the people who are addicted to drugs come to AA, because of the solidarity of the people in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're dually addicted, it doesn't seem to me that it's any great thing to stand up and say that you're an alcoholic. Floyd hit on it. What are you? Are you an alcoholic, a drug addict? Are you a man? Are you a woman? What are you? Everybody has to be something somewhere in the here and the now, and nobody can be split off in 100 damn different directions. I think everybody has to identify with themselves as to who they are and what they are in the here and the now. And that's what the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is here to help us all achieve. We are all, each and every one of us, the 100% sum total of every single solitary life's experience to this very instant. And none of us can ever deviate from that. And in 1 minute, it will be another instant. And we can't deviate from that. I think that the very fact that this meeting has as many people as it has in attendance certainly is indicative of the fact that this is an issue which will never be solved, and yet again it will be. And Floyd quoted another thing from a man in our group. This is a self-weeding program. How many people do you see come to this meeting, to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and presumably grasp it and really get hold of it, and then they disappear? And they are the losers. I'm only here for one reason, to save my own life. That's the only reason why I'm here. I'm here to save my own life. And I can do that in my association through the unity and the service detail. I mean, how many people come in and it seems to be a matter of attitude. Somebody said something about different generations. I don't believe that either. There is only one generation. And you can look at me and say, ah, you're an old bastard. But that may be. But I'm going to tell you something. It was also said, I know a hell of a lot more about being young than some of you know about being old. We all belong to one generation, and it's called the living generation. And it goes from the toddler to the grave. And the alternative to getting older is damn permanent. And if you're very lucky and you get into a spiritual program that will help you save your bacon by associating with other people who have a spiritual program and will rescue you from yourself, then you may have a chance to get a little older. But it's still all just one big living generation. We're all trying to do the same thing. That's to save our own butts. And that's why we're here. That's why we're interested enough to even show up. And most of the people that you will hear controversy from don't attend these kind of meetings. Why in the hell would they want to come? Why would they want to come? They've already opinionated themselves. The young lady that presumably had to leave because of the length of this meeting mentioned Sean, the speaker at the Skyline or at the Spring Rally. He said that he, too, was addicted to alcohol and other mind-altering drugs. And he used to introduce himself as an alcoholic and an addict. And he said he came to the Fellowship of Alcoholics, and pretty soon he was just an alcoholic. He said other people come in and they introduce themselves as addicts and alcoholics. And then pretty soon it was alcoholic addict, and then they were back to alcoholics. I mean, I really don't know what this thing is all about, but I'd venture to say that with rare exception, the person who today is addicted to drugs other than alcohol started off with a simple beer, if they really get down to looking at themselves in the here and the now. Where did it start? How did it start? How did I perpetuate it? Does it really make any difference? I've never seen too many people in an AA meeting on a sightseeing trip. People come to the fellowship because they're hurting and they fear for their life. And if they don't come, they're wasting their damn time. I've seen them literally come by the hundreds. My sponsor used to say, what happened to the other nine? What happened to them? You read their ads. And that's all an obituary is an ad. If you can save your ass and you can stay out of the obituary column, by all means, get to the fellowship of AA. Get into the unity and get into the service as well as just partake of the recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Bud. Unfortunately, this meeting could... we're going to have to conclude the meeting now because they need to get in here and set up for the banquet, and we could go on for hours, and I know everybody has more things to say, but I'd like to ask everybody to stand for the serenity prayer, if you would.
God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back.
Thank you.